Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome back to lovely interview with Theo van der Broek, all about his book, The Closet. Go buy it and listen to this interview. Here you go. Should we talk about hot boys for a sec?
Boys.
I know it's sort of clear, but it is so... It becomes clearer as you read the book of how we try on versions of ourselves through clothes. And you said this wonderful thing about you go and hook up with this guy and Tim, and you have met him previously. You kissed him in a bar and he's wearing this white, Nike TN cap. And then he then offers for you to meet up with him. So then you take it upon yourself to go and find a cap like his to wear to meet him, which is so... I was just like, that is exactly what I would have done. I would... God forbid they fancy me because I look like me. Yeah. You know what I mean? I have to like now dress like them in order to think they'll love me. So, and then you go and then you realize when you arrive that he's not wearing the cap anymore and actually you feel really silly wearing it. And you say this line, I think it's at the end of that section where you're like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, a sort of mishmash of all the people I want to try and be or get to like me, but I'm not myself. And it's like, God, clothes does that to you, doesn't it? Because you're trying to be this, you're trying to be that. But the Vivian Westwood t-shirt that is one of the chapters in the book, I think is amazing because it does say the complete flip side of what I've just said, which is that... By someone like Vivian Westwood doing a t-shirt, which hopefully if you save up, you can afford, you speak to your tribe. Mm. You say, these are my people and this is me. And Vivian Westwood and all that she stood for and the brand stands for, which is actually punk and brilliant, brilliant things. You know, I'm really pleased that there are those t-shirts out there because it's your first access to like, who was it? Bimini was on the podcast the other week saying that when they saw someone in their town wearing a certain t-shirt, but it was like, that's how they knew they were like-minded. And then they became friends.
It's like modern hanky code, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And that stuff that's when fashion is so positive.
Totally, totally. And you know, the big thing about that Vivian Westwood t-shirt chapter, I go and buy that on a trip to Barcelona that my mum takes me on after I'm unceremoniously dumped and outed by this kind of person that I was in love with as a teenager. And it was a moment where I was like, actually, do you know what? Fuck it. This thing, it's a floral t-shirt. It's a big old peony splitting down over it. And it had a split hem, so it was a bit fussy. And, you know, I was 15. And I was like, no, this is, I'm into this. This is something that I am excited by and I care about. And I wore it, and in the book I chart this, but I wore it on a Mufti day. And it was this moment of liberation, and it absolutely was. And I kind of, I'd been outed, so there was nothing left to lose on that front. So I was like, well, actually, if I'm going to have to face this down, I might as well face it looking great.
In a bit,
I probably look ridiculous because I was wearing the t-shirt with these like massive cargo trousers from Eisenhower and some and those ridiculous Gucci loafers that I had to stuff socks into the end on in order to be able to fit. So you know, I probably looked an absolute joke, but I felt amazing doing it. And it was, that feeling of liberation and that feeling of saying, I don't really care. I mean, obviously I care what you think, but ostensibly I don't care what you think. And I'm going to be me was something that's existed, that has continued in my life. And I get that feeling. I know that feeling. If I wear a certain thing, it's like, this gives me armor. This gives me power. This enables me to face something that might otherwise feel scary or insurmountable. And that's not about feeling superior. It's about feeling good about yourself.
It's like sketches before you do the painting. Mm. You're trying things out. And actually, traditionally, particularly in the era we're talking about, we didn't have makeup, you know what I mean? It's the ways that you could experiment with yourself.
Yeah.
And you should look ridiculous is what I'm trying to say. You should look ludicrous, because if you're getting it wrong the first time, you're probably not experimenting enough.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And that's what, you know, going back to that point that we made at the beginning, I do feel for young people today, because I feel like it is more difficult. I feel like you do have to be this kind of ready-made, salient creature that kind of understands the world and is ready to face it head on, and you just aren't. It takes forever. I still don't know, you know, like when I was going to the shows, I bought a lot of weird clothes that did not really fit with the style that I know that I have, and that I have kind of created over time. And I would get sucked into trend, and I would feel insecure, to be honest, and I would go and buy stuff, because you're in that frenzy of like materialism and consumerism, and you've been sucked into this idea. And I look back at some of those items now, and I'm like, what was I thinking? But it showed me, it was like a barometer for my feelings about what I was doing and where I was. And I look back on it now, and it's like, okay, well, maybe I wasn't quite me and who I wanted to be at that point. You know, when I start wearing my navy blue crew necks and my navy blue trousers, and the same white trainers, and you know, I'm in an okay state of mind.
So maybe straight dad stopping at Blue Harbour from M&S had it right.
Maybe, you never know.
But well, it's simplifying, isn't it? You know, and I think we use, I know when I'm not settled, because I'm trying to use outside things to balance my inside. Yes. So that's sugar or alcohol and talking, actually, hence the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, like as in like, I'll just be very verbose and trying to analyze things all the time and stuff. I think that means I'm unsettled, and it's not been my thing, but I know fashion could be that. Buying shit is that for me. It's actually not fashion. It's more like, I mean, I've discovered Temu, that website, which
What's
is like
Temu?
Amazon.
Oh, no, don't Temu, tell me.
I shouldn't tell you this. But you know, Temu is like Amazon. I think it's based in China, but I'm not sure. And it's like super cheap. And you can just buy things like plastic Tupperware on it. Like, I'll find myself on Temu and I'm like, Chris, step away.
Maybe book a therapy session.
Yeah, I'm doing it fucking once a week. It's still not doing it. But, you know, anyway, it's funny. So, Teo, I'm sorry, I'm doing a handbrake turn because I want you to tell a fucking funny story. We both were accessing the internet in a time of dial-up.
I know which one you're going to say.
I had some scrapes on the internet in chat rooms. I got involved with a whole thing in chat rooms. Actually, with a boy in Kingston.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he would have been down the road. We never met. Right. But, you know, I spent all my time on the fucking internet talking to people.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You had an incident with the printer That is so goddamn. Is it noughties or 90s?
I would say it's 90s. It was probably like it's so 90s. Yeah.
And I just got to let you tell it.
Yeah. I spent a lot of my time dialing up to go onto AOL to either onto either Gaydar or MSN Messenger, usually pretending to be on MSN Messenger so I could be on Gaydar. And I would be on, I think Google was around then, searching for very...
Ask Jeeves.
Finding very softcore pornography. So I would type in words like Willy and men holding willies. And what I would usually do is find these pictures, and in a panic, because I'd only have like an hour or so before my parents would come home, either from my mum from her course or my dad from flying, before I would be caught if I was doing anything. So in a panic, I'd print them out on this printer, which would take at least 10 minutes to print out full page color. I had this box that I'd been given for Christmas, which was like a fake book that had like a little plastic inlay, which I absolutely loved. I was obsessed with it. And I really thought that it would conceal my secrets, despite the fact that my parents had been the ones who gave it to me. So they knew they knew it wasn't a real book. So anyway, I would conceal these folded up papers inside and whatever. And then there was one day that I'd come back home from school and my parents weren't home yet. And I did my usual mission. So I set out, pretended to put MSN more to fool myself than anything else, and then would go on this little hunt. And I found this boy who looked like abs, or at least I thought he did, naked. And I decided to print out the picture color because it was a particularly good picture. I thought black and white would be wasted. So I took the risk. I didn't know what time my parents were going to be home, took the risk, started printing it. And I, about halfway through, my mum comes through the front door, and I kind of hadn't heard the gravel as I usually did. So I jammed the printer page out of the printer, switched off the printer, switched off the computer. This is before I knew to delete internet history. And there's a whole other story about that in the book. And anyway, later that night, we're having dinner in the kitchen, which is next door to the study where the computer and the printer is, eating peas and I think haddock or something, haddock fish pie. And my dad has come back from a trip and he's furious because his roster has been changed. So he's flying again the next day. So he leaves dinner to go and check his roster. You know, bloody old Jane, Jane's my mum, bloody old, I've got my bloody roster changed. So storms into the other room. And as I hear the computer go on and the wireless dial up, you know, whatever, going wild. And I suddenly hear the printer click into action. And I had forgotten that when a print job had not been complete, it would then finish when you turned it back on. Invariably, it had happened with my mum's dissertation a couple of weeks before this event.
Oh,
so I'm just sat there, honestly, my stomach in my mouth. And because it's so slow, the fucking printer. So my dad hasn't seen what's coming out before. So I'm just kind of sitting there thinking, what do I do? I haven't finished my fish pie. I'm quite hungry. Anyway, slam my knife and fork down, run out of the room. And I just hear my dad shout to my mum, oh, bloody hell, Jane, is that a willy? And there's this half body that just comes out of the printer. And weirdly, like maybe not that weirdly, but they never spoke to me about it. I went to bed, they never spoke to me about it. But my dad did put blocking technology onto the computer. And, you know, we were raised on the internet, right? So he thought he was being really smart. When I was pretending to work on Encarta a couple of days later, I downloaded spyware that tracked every key that he pressed on the keyboard so that I could discover his password and put it in to override it and continue looking at abs lookalikes with engorged cucumbers on their stomachs. Yeah,
this was it, because we all had one computer in the house, so you did have to, you know, like it was all.
It was like, I don't know, what's the word? It was cowboy country. Like no one understood the internet. Like my dad didn't really understand it. I didn't understand it. So we were discovering it together. Like it had only just come onto the computer. So it was like, okay, it can do all these terrifying things, and it's adapting and growing at a rate of knots. So, you know, one minute it was downloading and printing pictures, the next minute you're talking to people, the next minute it's videos, the next minute, you know, and it was just this exponential exposure, which, you know, was amazing in some ways because it did facilitate meeting people, which otherwise would not have happened. I don't understand how people, the generation before us, were able to meet people or to kind of scratch those itches that you need scratching when you're in your mid-teens, you know, which are otherwise impossible to scratch. But it also did expose me, us, to a lot, and a lot of danger in retrospect. Like, you know, I look back at it now, I'm like, fucking hell, I would never let my child ever access the thing. Well, obviously not the things I was accessing, but have that unfettered access. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We always talked about, there was this guy called ANF Lad on Gaydar that me and my friend used to talk to, Anflad, and we were like obsessed with him. I don't know what the fuck, but we never met up with him, but we both used to message him all the time, like, because he was really fit. Yeah. And it's like, it was just fictional. It's so odd.
Totally, totally. I mean, I definitely put myself in some vulnerable situations, particularly when I learned to drive.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that's for maybe for another time. But
that's book for two.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right. It is fiction, and you can create this whole other world for yourself. I mean, I didn't help myself by making my email address ilovewomen87@hotmail.com, which was my
funny
way of hiding from the world that I was gay, because obviously if you protest too much.
Well, mine was breast_face@hotmail.com. Isn't that funny?
I love that.
We both did
That's
that.
That's amazing. It's probably a thing. I'm sure lots of boys do or did.
Yeah, I think like I wasn't doing it to be like booby lad. I don't think I was. I think what I find interesting about it now, should I wish to think about it, I think it was sort of actually a demonstration of the fact that like breasts sort of meant nothing to me. You know what I mean? Because they didn't. Whereas they were such a hot topic for boys like around me. Whereas I was just like, oh, that's a word. I'd gone through so many iterations of trying to get my name on Hotmail. I was just like, oh, two words put together.
I mean, maybe but mine was some subliminal kind of anti-misogyny thing. It's like, because I actually do love women. And I think a lot of straight men don't. So maybe it was some.
Let's unshackle ourselves from the 90s and the toxic times we lived in and start again.
Exactly.
And be... Teo, thank you so much for doing this. And you said earlier, actually, you know, like, I'd never heard that statement. I love it. Like, a memory doesn't have an emotion attached. There isn't a memory without an emotion attached. And I actually think, you know, all these memories and these clothes are the access point to so many themes of growing up LGBT that are so specific. You know, I had this conversation with Tom Allen when he came on the podcast, and because he was in Croydon and similar time. He was like, isn't it shit we didn't know each other?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, we could have all done this together.
Yeah.
Because there was that person down the road, you know, looking at the Littlewoods catalogue just like I was. But we were all in our own little pods of isolation, and then like going on the internet and talking to people probably on the other side of the world who we didn't know.
Yeah.
Being like, I mean, you were jumping in the car. I was too wet.
I mean, but it's interesting you say that, because I do think there's also that thing where, because you exist in isolation as young gay men, or at least we did, very much so, particularly if you live in like a suburb where you don't have ready access to a gay bar or a community, and you learn to be quite self-sufficient, and you learn to be and that I think has definitely, I don't know if I talk about it that much in the book, but it definitely impacted my ability to have gay friendships. And I didn't really feel like I had many gay friendships, really. And I don't know whether that was some subliminal internalized homophobia or that kind of feeling of being completely self-contained and having to be. But it's been something that I've kind of grappled with again in my whole, you know, journey of self-discovery.
Well, it's a big topic, because I know that I can relate to a version of that, in the sense that, like, so I have to catch myself, because you do get very used to being on your own and asking nobody for help, and it's all a big secret, and it's all got to, you know, it's all got to be dealt with by yourself. So I have to catch myself being disdainful of people asking for help. Like, I would just automatically be like, bit weak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you've got to stop that. Yeah. Like, you people are allowed to ask for help, and as are you. And I will get myself into a whole Like something will start to unfold in my life, and it could be work, it could be personal life, and I'll get myself into a whole lather about the fact that I can't solve it. And I'm like, you know, you can actually turn to someone and say, would you mind helping me? Like that is a normal thing, but I won't do it. And you know, as on my 41st year, I still won't, I have to like whack my head and be like, oh yeah, just tell people. And it's amazing once you uncover it.
You kind of don't know what your avenues are. So you kind of, I don't know, we're all, I don't know, it's a generalization to say that all gay men know how to perform, but like there's a performative aspect to us because we probably have had to shield and present and whatever. And it's easier to do that than it is to internalize and ask for help and go to your immediates than it is to go out to the wider world in some way. And at least that's what I have found. And that I completely agree with you. It's like actually saying, shit, I'm not in the best place, or I need someone to lean on, is really, really difficult. And I think a lot of gay men and anyone who's maybe, I guess struggled is a difficult term, but who has kind of been forced against the grain in some way and therefore had to become self-sufficient and self-reliant, you kind of, it's difficult to break that. It really is. And I'm definitely still learning how to do it.
It really is. And I think also, like you said, anyone who's had to go against the grain, it's actually everybody, which is why I take it upon myself to be vulnerable in front of people as a sort of exhibition to be like, and I feel it when I do it in front of certain people. I deliberately do it because I think it's everybody has it. And I think you have to be vulnerable, and that way is happiness, and there is no other path.
I agree. Completely agree.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah.
Listeners, it's been beautiful. We will see you all in the new year. Thank you, Teo, for coming to chat. I love that. Get in touch at Homo Sapiens on Instagram, Facebook at Homo Sapiens Podcast for all the boomers out there. Email your comments, questions, agony uncles to hello@homosapiens.com. Bye for now. I'm going to go and have another rustle in that Quality Street tin to make sure it's not just the orange ones and the weird strawberry ones left. There must be one of those nutty ones somewhere. Or the purple-green triangle, is it? Yum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.